Hello and welcome to Speak Your Truth and Look Good Doing It podcast. My name is Camila, or as you've seen me online, Maria Camila. I'm a brand strategist, photographer, and videographer. This work is about amplifying the visibility of conscious leaders and brands who are wanting to leave this world better than they found it. This podcast is about letting ourselves be seen, both physically and spiritually, and highlighting the nuances we experience as we are growing both personally and professionally. Thank you for being here, and let's go ahead and dive in. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the podcast. So grateful always to have you here. Today's episode is going to be a little bit more personal, and we're going to be talking about is my reflections for this year. I've actually realized that I was kind of self-censoring or sitting on this episode because I didn't want to be too vulnerable or like don't want to hurt somebody's feelings. And then I had to take a moment and remember that it's like, wait, this is, I was still on the receiving end of things that I've learned. And I also feel that it's wise to share them with you because these are all things that seep into your business and they matter a lot. And I'm just like reaching a point of remembering my voice. And it's also like, that is the purpose of this podcast. And I'm here to be more truthful and to be transparent. And sometimes I think that our gifts in this life come in the things that we think we need to keep hush hush about. And I realized that I still have to do so much work in finding comfort in developing my voice and not being scared to express myself authentically. And yeah, it's still something that I deal with. Sometimes there's some areas of business, even just sharing in general, that I'm more comfortable with, but I realize there's always another layer of like, dang, there is a people pleaser in me. There is a part of me that has been really quiet and I'm just like tired of being that way. And that's why I even started this podcast. I know podcasts can also be important, you know, for business reasons, but there is also a part of me that selfishly started this podcast because I'm like, no, this is something that I want to talk about. These are conversations that I want to have. It's this desire of like a need to express and get it out of me. And I'm almost remembering back to like, this is the point of branding. You know, like I've gotten a little bit lost in business with like, well, this is going to be how it's going to, you know, impact your business. And this is how you're going to get a return on investment on this. And I'm also remembering here that's like, wait, I didn't start my business to make money. If I wanted to make money, there's so many jobs out there that pay way better, that pay way more. And you just don't have to go through this process. So I'm remembering kind of coming back to my roots here of like, why am I starting this in the first place? And I realized that I've gotten so deep into having to sell like, this is how it's going to be a necessity in your business and this is how you're going to get your money back and blah, blah, blah. But I'm just remembering that money is not always a motivator as to why people do something, first of all. And there's also other motivators, like when you feel like you're part of like something else, or when you just have that urgency, it's like this like, I need to get this off of me. It's when you start realizing that your story and the lessons that, you know, you're pulling together, it all matters. And it matters to do things in this life that are more than just making money. And I truly have gone so distant from my essence and my voice, and even right doing this podcast, I'm remembering of why I started this in the first place, because establishing your own brand, it's such a treacherous journey and you're not even guaranteed that you're going to make money out of it. A lot of times it is a labor of love. And a lot of times it's like, you're just hoping that maybe this time around, like this will eventually become your living, but it's for a big part of it, it is a labor of love. But I do believe that when you do things, when they are a labor of love, you just show up differently and you are more sincere and you're more in service and things are just completely different when you're just like, I'm just here to be more honest about what's really going on. And anyway, these are just, I'm going to go over is some of the reflections that I've had for this year. Of like four core lessons that I learned. But the first one here is business is simply harder when your needs aren't met. Meaning when you isolate yourself, when you don't open up to a friend about what's really going on, when you feel shame about maybe your sales being low, or you feel shame about not liking what you're doing, or you feel shame about whatever, or you feel embarrassment, or you feel like you want to hide, or you feel stupid and dumb, and like hiding how you really feel about whatever is going on, like that is just a recipe to not be successful. And I realized that in entrepreneurship, like the person running the business really needs to be taken care of. And I know that sounds very like duh, but you'd be surprised how often people don't take care of themselves, or people just isolate so much. And then the isolation just creates an even harder shell for them to open up to other people. And I really have had to learn to decenter my business. And remember that Camila herself, she needs to be taken care of. She needs to have a better friendship. She needs to be putting herself out there a little more. She needs to open up to friends and tell her friends, hey, I'm really struggling with this. Like, I feel insecure about this. Or she just needs to be taken care of at a deeper capacity. And I think so often in business, business and money making is prioritized so heavy that we ignore that, like, the source and the person who makes the money happen, we ignore them. And we think that we just need to bypass all of those emotions and just keep problem solving in the business. And sometimes the business problems align when you align, when you go get happy, when you go resource yourself, when you go do the things that make you happy. And that's something that I had to do immensely this year, because my first year, I completely ignored every single need that I ever had, like food, exercise, hanging out with friends. Like, I isolated so much that it just burnt me out, and like it just was not good for me, because this business just absorbed so much of my life. And a big goal of mine was like, I just don't want to run a business where I have to abandon myself that much. And that is going to continue to be even more of my goals for 2026, is I'm going to build a business that allows me to be significantly more resourced, because this one-man band and the way that I've been doing things is simply not the way. And I can't get coached on my mindset with this any further. Like, it's to a point that I seriously need to rearrange the way that I'm running my business and my life, because me not taking care of myself and me being the one to rely on everything, it's simply not sustainable. So, all right, on to my next point, which is being in rooms with women of color or other people who embody values of lived experience, authenticity, understanding how patriarchy and white supremacy impacts our well-being, and a person that has availability for complexity, it all makes a huge difference in how you navigate business. It's so important to be surrounded by people that have emotional availability for how it is that you experience the world. I think that's probably the biggest pivotal shift that I made in my business, is surrounding myself by women of color. And the reason why I say women of color is because women of color, or at least we'll just say Latinas, this will probably be translatable to other cultures, but I find that there's significantly just more range out of just our culture having, like, when you speak a different language, even speaking Spanish, I believe in Spanish, there's just even different types of emotions, like different types of ways of being, that when you are in a room with other Latinas or other people from different cultures, you just get smarter. You just create more range. There's more nuance. There's more depth. There's more complexity for what is really happening. And anytime that I found myself in rooms that didn't have that, I found myself very limited in the range and the depth and the genius and brilliance that was available for me. And I'm seeing it now of more people talking about, you know, learning from women of color, or maybe not to some of you, this may be new, but to me, that is truly what changed the game for me, is that So often we prioritize learning from white men or even like white women about business. And I simply just did not find the range that I needed to find in those spaces regarding relationship, regarding marketing, regarding healing, somatic experiencing. Like the lens was always very narrow in those spaces. And I always found just so much expansion in women of color spaces. And I'll even tell you even one. There's this person that I've been learning for, Krista Galloway, I think that is their name, but they are, I believe they are African, and they talk about relational skills, and when they talk about relational skills, they always talk about coming from collectivist cultures and what they've learned from collectivist cultures, and it's so much reframing about how to be relational, and it's related to liberation, and to me, that knowledge is incredibly powerful. And I just think that it's just time for us to start learning from other people that are not like white men and like, or even like white people in general, you know, like I think I even now I still have to like remember to like decolonize my mind from who is perceived as an authority. And there's simply more range from people who have found ways to thrive, honoring their lineages in an environment that doesn't nurture where they come from, such as living in the United States. And I just think there's just significantly more range. And honestly, this is also why the work that I do, I have more range than the other, respectfully, other white photographers that you may see out there, because it's so focused on like the creative direction and it's like the technicalities of branding and colors and blah, blah, blah. And I simply just don't look at it in that way. To me, business is significantly more relational. It's also connected to liberation. It's also connected to making this world better than you found it. It's connected to such a deep, deep part of who I am based on my lived experience as a Latina, as a Colombian, as an immigrant person, that I think you benefit from my knowledge based on like what I've managed to, you know, figure out and thrive and still find my sense of self in this world. And it always serves you to listen from people from different walks of life. And I would hope that you also do it because you care about this, making this world better, but you will also benefit immensely when you look at you, who you perceive as an authority and who you want to listen to and who you see as like somebody that's like, I want their wisdom in my life. Because that's going to impact how it is that you lead your life and everything. I really hope that you have a very diverse palette of people that you listen to and learn from, because we will simply all be better versus just whiteness being the center of everything. So now my next core lesson that I had is not allowing people into my life that are not trauma-informed. So, and when I say trauma-informed, is people who are able to pick up on like what you're doing in business and really think about like, is this you protecting yourself because you went through something traumatic in your past? And I notice this is a protective mechanism or a habit that you've normalized to protect yourself. But really, you're just like protecting an old wound from the past? Or is this actually like a problem in your business that needs to be addressed? And you really need to have a person that is very acutely aware of how that is going on, because if you don't have that, you're going to be solving problems in business that simply just don't need to be solved, or it's going to like completely stir the direction of your business a little different. And this is actually probably the biggest like lesson that I've had in 2025 is a little background. I started 2025 with very ambitious goals of doubling my revenue. And I made 100K last year. I wanted to make 200K this year. I did not reach my goal. I made six figures again, which is fine. I'm very grateful. But I sat with myself. I'm like, what is a reflection? Like, why do I believe that I didn't reach my goal? And as I keep assessing and looking at what is really going on, and I came to realize that I have had this insecurity of mine because, first of all, a little context, I didn't go deep into the corporate world. Like, I was not corporate girly that, like, reached the ranks of corporate, made a lot of money, and then, you know, eventually was like, okay, I want to start my own business. That was not my story at all. I also was not a person who comes from, like, generational wealth or anything like that, where, like, I just had an idea, you know, and then started a business, and, like, my parents were able to help me, and I had just mentors all around me, and, like, starting a business was super normalized in my community. That also was not the where I came from. So I just didn't really see myself, my story, in a lot of spaces, even in women of color spaces, because in a lot of these masterminds that I found myself in, a lot of the story is like women of color that has achieved success in her career, in her corporate career, and she did it because she's an overachiever, because she's a daughter of immigrants or whatever, and she's expected to like excel and all those things. And I'm just like, that just wasn't my story. Like, I related to being Latina, but I'm just like, I never got super deep into corporate because I didn't want to. I got a taste of what entrepreneurship felt like, and I built my brand like at like 19, you guys. Like, I as soon as I graduated high school, I was already shooting weddings. I remember my college tuition. I remember I received the Pell Grant, which covered half of my tuition, and then the other half of my tuition was money that you have to pay out of pocket. And I was shooting weddings. I remember I charged like $1,200 or something to shoot a wedding, and I would use that cash, and that would pay the remaining amount that I had of my college tuition when I was in college. And that's how I was like getting by. So I was already like, you know, seeing the fruits of just my creativity of what that could happen, like real life money that had real life impact. And I got a taste of that very early on. And I grew a following and I started getting noticed by brands very early on in my life. So once I got a taste of that, and I got a taste of like what it meant to be paid and seen for exactly who I was in my authentic voice, not sell anybody else's product, but sell my product. Which, by the way, that's pretty revolutionary. A lot of people are working for other people or selling other people's product and working for somebody else. So when you actually start doing your own thing from a place that came from like the deepest authenticity, and the world rewards that monetarily, that is such a powerful thing. And I got a taste of that. It was such a rush. It was crazy. It was like one of the most pivotal moments of my life. And to me, my goal was like, I always want to do this. I never want to do anything else besides getting paid for who it is that I am. Obviously, there needs to be demand out there in the world, but I get a taste of that very early on, which is why when it came to corporate jobs, I just never cared. I'm like, I stopped caring even when I was in college. I remember it was like, I think it was like between my sophomore and junior year of college, and I started going to school, and I remember all of my classes for the first couple years of my college experience. I felt very challenged by the classes and like what I was learning. Like, to me, being in college felt like, whoa, this is really like such growth. And like, I'm really doing something that I never thought that like was available to me as like an immigrant. And this is like the American dream. Like, this is so cool. I know that sounds so simplified because everybody goes to college now, I guess. But when you come from where I come from, that felt very significant. And especially from somebody that I didn't have like the best grades in school. So to be in college, to me, that was very big. And anyways, I remember it was like fall of 2014. I think that was like between my sophomore and junior year. And I remember going to class and just being like, I like have read this academic text before, or like I've heard this argument before. And I started realizing that I wasn't really challenged by what I was learning anymore. And then I kind of started seeing college for what it was. I'm just like, oh, this is just like a business, and this is recycled information, and people here are just checking off a box. There's no depth here. There isn't substance to what I'm doing. However, here I am, taking photos with my friends and connecting with brands and actually creating a business unknowingly. And that is giving me like way more traction. I'm making like $1,000 a week or like $600 a week, which at the time for me was a lot of money compared to the other part-time jobs that college students had. So I was like, it just doesn't make sense. Like, I think I'd rather, you know, invest in my own business with what I'm doing here. And that's what made me drop out of school. Once I started seeing it with different eyes, once I started developing my voice and kind of seeing the system for what it was. And this is not to discredit education or anything, but the education that I was getting, which was ethnic studies, which is diversity and inclusion, what we understand it as today. And I started realizing, like, this school does not care about learning about the history and this type of work. This school cares more about, like, biology and chemistry and business and all of those things, but it does not care about the things that I really care about. So that's what made me walk out of school. And then since then, I was like, I just want to keep doing my own thing. And then from there, I always kept getting jobs that were very non-committal. And that always ended me up in sales jobs, because sales jobs, they don't really expect you to have a degree or much. It's like, if you can produce, then you're hired. And I ended up being really good at sales jobs, which were very non-committal, and you can just go make a lot of money. And that's exactly what I did. But I, for the longest time, I always had such an insecurity of being the person that I'm like, I just didn't reach the ranks of corporate. I didn't even graduate college. And I also felt an insecurity of like also struggling with my business because I didn't have like a lot of mentorship or other like people to help me in that area of my life. And so having this insecurity, I see it now seep into my business even today, even like 2025, that one thing about entrepreneurship that I got to learn is that who you are being, whether you are presenting as a trustworthy person and you are acutely aware of your patterns and like understanding the psychology of like how human beings work, that is the biggest chunk in business. Because you could have the best marketing ever, but if the moment people make contact with you, if the way that they feel around you is icky, it's not gonna last. But I didn't understand that to the depths that I understand it now, I would say like around July or so of this year. So as I was going through my process of figuring out how to grow my business and make more sales, which now I know better, which what it is that I needed to do. But at the time, I got presented with a person in my life that they're like, oh, like you just need a better strategy. Your marketing just needs to be more fine-tuned in this and that way. And I was like, okay, fine. And I allowed this person into my business. And one thing that I want to say about business and like people you allow into your life is that I think of my business as like, this is an airplane and the airplane has a cockpit. And people are allowed into the airplane to do maintenance or whatever. They need to have like some qualifications in order to get things done for you. Like for example, a VA or somebody that can just, you know, edit your podcast or somebody that can send emails for you. Like organization logistical work, that can be done in the back of the plane. And like that's like not a huge deal into what impacts the safety of everybody on board in the plane. But the person that you allow into the cockpit, that is a very precious role. Because first of all, you're the pilot and you are, you know, riding this airplane. But whoever you allow into that space, that person needs to have very aligned values, and they need to be somebody that you can trust deeply with your whole being. It's not just somebody that is qualified on a technical level. It needs to be somebody who is also qualified on an emotional level. Like you intuitively, like you have very aligned values. And the mistake that I made in my business is that I allowed somebody into the cockpit, into the direction of my business, to influence me and influence the way I perceive myself and perceive my business. I let somebody into my life who is not trauma informed. I let somebody into my business who, they would say comments about kind of people that were mission led and kind of like making fun of it. And I realized that I was like in on the joke. I was like laughing at those parts of myself too. Like, yeah, it's so funny and so cheesy. And I didn't necessarily say those words, but I remember I caught myself laughing at myself too, of being a person that really cared about a bigger mission. Because some of the things that this individual would say is like, I'm just here to make money. And, you know, if you like it, come and join. If not, like, there you go. But I'm not here for a deeper mission, a deeper anything. And I remember hearing that and being like, yeah, anyway, like being on the joke and like laughing about things like that. And now that I like look back, I'm just like, dang, I was really abandoning myself, because that actually is the core of my work. There are so many other places for you to go make money. I literally have so many other friends that like go do real estate, or like they just sell other things, software, and they're so successful doing all of those things. Like, if you really are just here to make money, literally go do that many other places. And I lost sight of that. And I also lost sight of the fact that when I look at all of my clients, like, not 90% of them, they're already very successful in their businesses. They have 7-figure businesses. They have, or at least make a pretty decent living, like 300K. Like, they're already doing so well. And when I look at the common theme of these people that already do so well, and they decided to do their branding, is because they care about making a bigger impact. They're not self-serving. They're not just doing this to enrich themselves. They do it because they genuinely care about people. Like, they are in such deep integrity with themselves and the work that they're doing and their mission. And it is not corny for you to have a mission about making this, leaving this world better than you found it. So back to this analogy of like, who's in the cockpit? I let somebody into my life, into the vision of my business, who does not have those aligned values. And the conversation was, everything was about the work. And I remember thinking that, okay, well, I guess I can have this person, you know, in the cockpit of my business, because we just need to talk about business. Up until I realized that having somebody into my life like that, that is only half of the qualification somebody in the cockpit needs to have. The other half of the qualification is that they need to be rooted in themselves, and they need to have an aligned mission. It's like when people say that companies thrive when they have a really good culture, it all kind of centered circles around the same thing. And that started impacting me, because I put this person, you know, in charge in the vision of my business, and then I essentially was abandoning myself, and I was abandoning the very thing that people choose me and they want to be in my world, and they trust me. They trust me because of my softness, of my intuitive wisdom, of like my genuine care to do well for others, for the way that I advocate for other people, for my boldness, for my courage, for my intelligence and wisdom that comes from looking at my deepest wounds. And it comes from even doing what I'm doing now, like being transparent and being vulnerable and being so raw. That is why people choose me. And here I am, completely abandoning that part of myself out of the insecurity of thinking that this voice that I've had all these years and this softness about me, I've had this insecurity thinking, oh, this person knows better because they come from such a reputable background of working with this and that brand, and the way they carry themselves is so confident, and you know, I just need to listen to what they're saying because they have the answer. And what's crazy is that even when I look at an individual like that, they haven't nearly made as much money as I have. They haven't nearly had the success that I've had, and I've been in business for a shorter amount of time than they have. And it's so clear to me now, it is so, so clear that, first of all, being relational in business and being vulnerable, which is actually going to lead me to my next point, it is a rite of passage, and it is truly what, like I get what people mean by you can have the perfect strategy, but if who you are being isn't in alignment and you're not cared for yourself, that's going to seep into your business, because whoever interacts with you is going to feel how disconnected you are from your work, and they're going to feel that you are just treating them like they are just a number, and they're going to feel that you're not excited about the work that you're doing, and they're going to feel like, wow, I just paid money to this person and this person is like so self-serving and they're treating me like a number, and they're not going to like that. And people will feel that. And so that is a big, it's so big. It's so big who you allow into your business. And it's also so big to go about business in a more human-centered way. Like that has a ripple effect into how big your business grows. And I think also for so long, in the patriarchal society that we live in, we get told so often that women are so emotional and that we don't make good leaders because of being emotional, which the crazy thing is that being emotional, understanding your emotions, understanding the wisdom that is there, and really enhancing your empathetic muscles, that is what makes you a better salesperson. That is what makes you a better marketer. And the business space is so heavily noisy with telling you to put out more volume and to have more strategies and to put out more ads. Like, it prioritizes volume and production over quality. And the biggest lesson, again, that I'm learning is that quality, who you are being, and who you allow into the cockpit, into your business, who you allow yourself to be led, is going to have a huge impact in your business. So choose wisely. Choose people that you feel very safe around, not just people that are flexing how smart they are, but the way your body feels around them feels uneasy. Like, you just don't feel like a warm trust with that person. Please trust yourself in that, because that is the biggest lesson that I've had this year. And I even experienced it last year, but now I'm like learning that lesson again of like, I need to be more of my emotional self, and the logical self, like, she's good, but like, she's not the one that's running the show. Now, moving on to my next point is vulnerability is a rite of passage when it comes to your business. I think a lot of people think that I'm just going to show up and I'm just going to talk about the work and that's it. But you are robbing yourself of growing your leadership skills when you are not vulnerable. Because when you are being vulnerable, that means that you are taking a risk. That means that you are putting your body and exposing it to things that it normally protected itself from. But you are teaching yourself how resilient you are in the face of being seen or being exposed by things that normally would break you in the past. And I believe that through even the work that we do, which is vulnerable work, to be in front of the camera and to trust me as your photographer and videographer, to trust the direction that I'm stirring you in, to trust the vision that we're having, that is a vulnerable act. And vulnerability is simply a rite of passage in order for you to grow in business, to grow as a leader, to have even more interesting things to say. All of that is going to grow by vulnerability. And I think a lot of people think of vulnerability as something they opt into, like they treat it as optional in business. And the truth is that it's actually required if you want to have a business that's fulfilling. And anybody that tries to argue with me on that, first of all, you're probably broke doing what you're doing, or you're probably selling somebody else's product, or B, you are extremely burnt out. One of the two. Because the people that have very deeply aligned businesses are people that really like look at vulnerability as like, this is a rite of passage in order for me to grow into my leadership. And when I say growing leadership, it means being a person that makes more money, being a person that can grow a team, and you are like somebody that people want to work with, and you are somebody that people want to support and people want to refer. Good leaders are people that are magnetic. Poor leadership are people that think that they're so smart and they're not vulnerable at all and you don't feel safe around them. That is not good leadership, because it's also you become a person that people can't tell their honest things to. And in order for business to thrive, in order for life to thrive, vulnerability is extremely required, and knowing how to be a great listener even when people are sharing their vulnerability with you, that is an important leadership skill in order for things to be up and running in a smooth way. So part of the work even that I do with my clients, it is vulnerable. When we do your branding session, I realize that kind of freaks out a lot of people that are not used to looking at themselves at a deeper capacity. When we do a strategy session where we're getting clear on like, what are going to be your beliefs? What is your brand going to be known by? And one of the things that I remind people is that I'm going to be asking you questions about like, What pisses you off about the world? What opinions do you have about this? What are injustices that you see that like bother you that you want to do better? Because that's how we get to a core of the why you're doing what you're doing and standing on business with why you're doing what you're doing. Because if we don't get to the core of why you're doing what you're doing, then business, that's when it starts getting transactional. And again, if you want to be transactional, there are a million other places where you can just go make money. So go do that if that's what you're trying to do. But if you want to build something meaningful that lights you up, that changes your life and that changes others' life, vulnerability is simply a rite of passage, period. So anyways, that is going to conclude the four core lessons of 2025 that I just, as I'm going into 2026, I cannot be playing around with these. Like, I really need to commit to protecting my softness, to taking care of myself, and to not allowing people that are not trauma-informed into the cockpit. And I also, that is my advice to you as well, is choose wisely with who you are allowing into the cockpit of your business, and choose wisely with, make it somebody that you feel safe around. If you do not feel safe around that person, it is simply not worth it to have them in your life at all, no matter how smart they are or what client results they have. It is simply just not worth it. So anyways, if you found value in this episode, share with a friend or share with me if there's anything that I shared here that allowed you to open up in any capacity. Again, if you are interested in working together, this is the work we do, by the way. This work is hella vulnerable, okay? When you share your story on camera, vulnerable. When we do your preparation for the photo shoot, vulnerable. When we actually do the photo shoot and you're posing in front of the camera, vulnerable. And it's actually vulnerable for me too, one thing that I haven't shared before, because I also need to be able to like step into my artist self and into my creativity. And I need to be able to like be comfortable in that state of being. So this is also about us trusting each other. And we both enter a state of being where we are in flow state with one another. And all of that requires vulnerability. It requires softness. It requires being into a creative state of being. And that's really hard to do if safety isn't present. So again, this is why I do what I do, exactly how I do it. So if you are interested in working together, please connect with me, schedule a sales call with me. I have two different core offers that I work with clients. One, whether you want business strategy and you're wanting more refinement on what your voice is, or you don't know like what your brand is, what you stand for, and you need refinement with that, that's exactly what we do inside Industry Outlier. If you're a person where you're like, actually, I'm very clear on my voice, I just want brand images and videos that actually represent who I am now. I'm actually very clear on my voice now. I just need some images that really show the complexity and how dynamic it is that I am now. And that's important to me, to be in integrity with the work that I'm doing. So if that is what you need, that is what Sweet Spot is for. And either or, we can talk about it on a sales call when you do choose to book. But other than that, I'm so grateful for you being here. Happy holidays, and we will catch you on the next episode. If you have been waiting to feel ready for a brand photo shoot, you're overthinking your outfits, you're overthinking what the photo shoot should be about, you're overthinking just who you should be, whether you are ready or not to be seen in front of the camera, have no fear. I created a very short training for you. It's available on the show notes. It is very simple and easy for you to learn a little bit more about what it really takes to be brand shoot ready and when your business needs it. So if this is you, check it out. It's in the show notes.